Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Following the President's State of the Union address, you can only wonder if anything at all will be accomplished this year as the White House and congressional Republicans remain firmly at odds. And even if they weren't, what can politicians really do to spur our stagnant economy? James Case is the author of the new book, Why Can't Obama Fix the Economy?, which you can find at Amazon.com and Lulu.com. And he joins me now to hopefully answer that question. Welcome to the program, Dr. Case.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, from what I read in your bio, you were involved in professional baseball before getting your PhD in mathematics at the University.
Very briefly, yes.
I see. What capacity was that? I'm curious.
I was in the Dodgers organization. I was a pitcher.
I see. And you decided baseball was not for you?
They decided that, not me.
I guess that's usually how it works out.
Yeah.
So some would say that the late 90s was an especially good time for the U.S. economy, and then things fell apart from there. When you look back, did the problems begin in the 2000s, or were we already set up for a downfall by then?
No, it occurred earlier than that. If you look at the charts, things began to change around 1980. That's when the debt started getting out of hand. That's when the foreign trade deficit began to escalate. That's when the income distribution started to switch so that the wealthy 99.9% started taking more and more of the national income, and the rest of us got left with about the same.
Well, you know, President Obama brought that up during his State of the Union address. He said, quote, "We can either settle for a country where a shrinking number of people do really well while a growing number of Americans barely get by, or we can restore an economy where everyone gets a fair shot." Is it fair to say that the U.S. economic structure is fundamentally unfair?
That's problematic. The Ron Paul types, the free market worshippers, would say that the free market is the fairest thing out there, and as long as we have a free market economy, we're being fair to everybody. I'm not sure I buy that, but that's what Obama's up against. There are a lot of people who take that position.
In terms of the solutions, though, we've got the two sides. We've got congressional Republicans who say we need to free businesses to do what they need to do. We need to, you know, reduce regulations, reduce taxes.
That's what they do say. And the more you free businesses to do what they want to do, the more they're going to go on laying off American workers and hiring foreign ones instead. Tax cuts don't really work all that well either, because the states depend for 20 to 25% of their income on federal funds, and as those funds dry up, the states are going to be forced to lay off more cops and school teachers and firemen and other public servants, who then will have less money to spend, and that will force layoffs in the private sector as well.
On the other side, though, increasing regulations and increasing taxes certainly wouldn't help the economic climate either, would it?
I think increasing taxes on people who can pay them might. Increasing taxes on people who are struggling as it is not going to help.
I'm talking to Dr. James Case. He's the author of the new book, Why Can't Obama Fix the Economy? You can find it at Amazon.com and Lulu.com. So you say that while we have these two sides taking their positions, that both have to unlearn much of what they purport to know about capitalism and the free market system before either can direct an economic recovery. So where does that leave us? What is the pathway out if neither side is really correct?
The strongest weapon we have would be a protective tariff, which this nation always did have until about 1970. That's what economists and free marketers have to relearn. They have a fear of protectionism, which is really ill-founded. And until we go back to what worked for the first 200 years, I don't see things getting much better.
Isn't the global economy, though, too intertwined at this point for us to actually go to that kind of a position now?
Well, we'd have to phase it in, and we would have to give our trading partners plenty of warning. But no, it can be done, and it almost has to be done. We can't go on doubling the national debt every 5 years or whatever it's been since 1980.
A protective tariff,
and we can't stand $700 billion in foreign trade deficit every year either.
A protective tariff, in a sense, then pushing companies to make products here in the U.S. that we would then sell to our own citizens.
This is still the big leagues of consumerism. This is the market that everybody has to have. And we need it more than most.
Wouldn't we see, though, other countries doing the same thing, and wouldn't that cause an issue for our export market?
Our domestic market is a whole lot bigger than our export market. And people buy things from us only if they can't get them anywhere else anyway. So we're fairly well insulated from the trade war that we hear so much about. Other countries are a lot more vulnerable than we are.
If we move in the direction that we are moving in now, which is this global economy where we reduce all barriers, what do you see happening to the standard of living here in the U.S.?
Well, that's under threat anyway. The world is running out of petroleum, and other exhaustible resources as well, natural gas, etc., coal, and that's going to make it hard in the future to maintain the lifestyle we've been used to. So, long run, things aren't going to go on getting better and better. We could ease the shock if we started planning for it and maybe doing a little conservation, possibly by a gas tax or gasoline tax or something of that sort. We can't go on finding more and more oil and gas forever.
But what about the cyclical nature of our economy? Economists say we are in a recovery, even though it's a very tepid one. Could we not be heading in the right direction now?
Well, that's an interesting question, and nobody wants to sound pessimistic. But Nouriel Roubini is and a pair of colleagues actually looked into how much of this deficit spending we were going to have to do in order to make something like a full recovery. And their conclusion was that it's going to take another 5 to 7 years of massive deficit spending, and we're going to have to persuade the Chinese government to adopt a whole lot of policies they've already told us they're not interested in adopting. If they don't do that to help us out, the deficit spending that we do is just going to flow to China, and have very little effect here.
Finally, then, in your viewpoint, are we potentially heading into some kind of an economic collapse here in the country?
It certainly is possible. We certainly could engineer one. And if we don't stop fighting over which failed policy we're going to adhere to, that's probably what will happen. But it certainly doesn't have to happen.
Dr. James Case, the author of the new book, Why Can't Obama Fix the Economy? If you want to find out more, you can find his book at Amazon.com and Lulu.com. Dr. Case, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.